Good to be with you as always, and to share just the excitement of the Lenten season, and to look forward to Easter. I can stop wearing purple. It'll be a great time. I just love this time of year, though, this Easter season. Even though in a couple of weeks, we're going to fill this place with flowers. And I am allergic to flowers. I'm allergic to most things on earth. Dust, dirt, not cows, but horses, yes, a little bit. So I'm allergic to just about everything. So in Eldersville, the church I previously served before I came here, the place was about half the size, and they had about twice as many flowers. And by the end of that service, I could barely breathe. So I'm thankful for an open space here that I don't have to worry too much, but I just love this time of year, even though you can hear it in my voice. I get a little deeper because of the pollen that's just in the air. But when I look outside and I see a beautiful sunny day and I see the grass begin to get a little greener and I see everything begin to lighten up a lot more and then the leaves on the trees begin to bud, I can't help but think, what a beautiful place that God has given us to live and to spend time together on this little rock of ours. And just the beauty of the earth reminds me of God's goodness. Now, I have been told that sometimes my sermons are heart-stopping, but last week we were literally heart-stopping, and I'm so glad that Barb is here this morning, that we had an incident at the end of church where she ended up in the hospital. But thanks be to God, Barb, you're here and doing well, and I'm just thanking God for you, the opportunity that we have in this beautiful place of ours, that we just go to the hospital and they can do amazing things. They can look inside our bodies, figure out what's wrong, and bring us some comfort and peace through that. And so I look around this room, and I see folks who 20 years ago, maybe even 10 years ago, wouldn't physically be here because the technology wasn't there to keep us going, to keep us alive. God gives such great gifts. He gives wisdom to those doctors of ours. He gives the gift of healing to these people so that life just is able to be prolonged for longer periods of time. I'm giving thanks that there are people in this room who, by the grace of God, are able to keep on going. And I look in my mirror, and I know that I myself, every day, I take a little needle, and I give myself a shot. And it keeps me going for another day. Because without that, I would probably be gone by now. I know that. So giving thanks to God for the blessing of the people that He places in our lives is so important. I hope you do that. And more than that, now let's take it an extra step. I hope that you find somebody who has done that for you. Someone who makes your day a little brighter. Someone who makes your life a little longer. Someone who shares with you those gifts of healing, those gifts of hope. And tell them, thank you. Thank you for being in my life. I'm so thankful that you've shared your gifts with me. I'm so thankful that because of you, my day is brighter. I'm so thankful that because of you, my life is longer. You know, those doctors, they get all the bad news. What would it look like if you were the patient in that doctor's office who was the one who said, thank you so much for all you do for me and all you do for the people in the community? You think that would make that doctor's day a little better? I think it would. Whenever I go and visit you in the hospital, and I've seen a lot of you in the hospital, I always try to remind you that when you see those doctors and nurses, that they are encountering through you Jesus. They're encountering through you that Holy Spirit at work. And who knows what your presence, even in the hospital, can be. And I'm giving thanks for you know, Phyllis, the life that she lived. You know, she spent a lot of time going back and forth to the hospital, as Brett said. And every time she did, She shared a little bit of Jesus with those people every time she was in there and wherever she would go. And that's what we need to do, just share Jesus. It doesn't need to be, do you know Jesus yet? With a finger pointing, but just live your life with the kind of joy that says, I'm so glad that you're in my life. Thank you. And see if that doesn't change the world a little bit. I think it will. We got a great, great scripture this morning. Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 through 11. What a magnificent piece of work that the Holy Spirit inspired Paul to write in these words today. And it'll inspire us as we hear it together today. Listen to these words. But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage, refuse, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. And so, somehow, attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Jesus is the Word of God. Thanks be to God. Pray with me, friends. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit. We've heard your scriptures read. Now may they be proclaimed according to your will and your will only. In Jesus' name, amen. Have you ever heard the phrase, pull yourself up by your bootstraps? Ever heard that phrase? We don't use it a lot anymore in modern language. Most of us don't wear boots, let alone have bootstraps to wear. Bootstraps are designed to hold your boots up, because they didn't have a lot of good leather in the early days when they made boots. And to keep the boots from falling down to your ankles, you had straps. And you would put your boot on, you'd strap it on there so that your boots wouldn't fall down. Now the phrase, pull yourself up by your bootstraps, in our culture, it comes to mean this idea that we are people of independence. We can rely on ourselves, our own initiative, our own power, our own mind, our own strength. We can make of ourselves anything that we want to be because of the great country that we live in, which is true for a lot of people. Not true for everyone. Some people, no matter how hard they work, will never be able to break through the barriers that are in society. But for many of us, yes, we can do that. You work hard, you work smart, and you can succeed. So pull yourself up by your bootstraps. But the meaning of that term did not originally mean what you think it means. You keep using that word. I don't think it means what you think it means. Originally, it meant this. If you were in quicksand and you tried to pull yourself up by your own bootstraps, you were going to drown. Because literally it meant, okay, oh no, I'm stuck in quicksand. What do I do? I know what I'll do. I'll pull myself out of here by my own bootstraps. Boop! What's going to happen to you? You ain't going anywhere. In fact, you're going further down into the muck as you try to pull yourself up out of there. It was a term meant to be silly, facetious. Oh, you're going to pull yourself up by your own bootstraps. Go right ahead, buddy, and we'll see how that works out. Because it wouldn't always work out the way you thought it would. You will just go down into the muck. That is true life, isn't it? Because we try to do that. We try to pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps. We try to save ourselves. We try to live lives that are good. If I'm just good enough, I can get to heaven. If I'm just good enough, God will love me. If I'm just good enough, these things will happen. That's not Christianity. I'm sorry. The idea of pulling yourself up on your own initiative is not a Christian idea. You can't do it. You can't find it in Scripture. Jesus just says, just work hard enough. Just do everything you can. Just pull yourself out of the muck. Try to find that in Scripture. It's not there. You will find it in Buddhism. You will find it in Islam. You'll find a little bit of it in Judaism, but Judaism is more geared nowadays toward grace of God. But that idea that you can work hard enough to attain the next level of life. If I just work harder, I'll get what I deserve. That's karma. That's not grace. That's the idea that you can work hard enough in this life so that in the next life you'll have a better life. That is anti-Christian. Because Jesus says, you cannot do it. It is impossible for you. The only way that you can be saved is through grace. No matter how hard you work, no matter how much you try to pull yourself up by your bootstraps, you are doomed. You are doomed. Only grace can save you. Only Jesus reaching down into that muck and pulling you out will save you. No other name by which you can be saved than by Jesus Christ. He is the one who reaches in. He is the one who pulls you out. You do not do it on your own. For you, it's impossible. For me, it's impossible. No matter how well I preach, no matter how many souls come to Jesus Christ because of my work, no matter how hard I try, I cannot save myself. I will sink into the mud as surely as gravity works. For me, it is impossible. For all of us, it is impossible. But Jesus is reaching to all of us. Why is this so important? Why do we speak of it again and again and again and again to remind you simply how many people in your life do you know who have said the words, I hope I'm good enough to get to heaven. I hope I'm good enough to make it. How many times? I can't tell you how many times. Even in the midst of a hospital conversation. Well, I hope I've been good enough. I got bad news. You ain't. You ain't. You're not good enough. You never will be able to pull yourself up by your bootstraps. But I'll tell you this. You are loved enough. You are loved enough that Jesus would give his life. He's not just going to pull you out of the quicksand. Jesus says this, I'm going to take your place in that quicksand. You go out here, and I'm going to get in there. I'm going to give myself, I'll drown in this quicksand so that you can be set free. That's the power of the cross. That is the power of Jesus Christ. In Christianity, you do not get what you deserve. You get what Jesus deserves because he gives it to you. And Jesus takes what you deserve upon himself and dies. And now here's the really good news. You see, the resurrection takes place. We're looking forward to the resurrection. Do you know what that means? It means that Jesus takes all of your sin, the sins of the whole world with him, down into that quicksand, down into the grave, and it dies. And when Jesus rises from the dead, that sin is dead. That sin no longer exists. That sin is as far away from you as the east is from the west. You are forgiven. You are set free of that burden of your sin. No matter how evil that sin was, no matter how vicious, how cruel that sin might have been, in the name of Jesus Christ, it is dead and buried, and you are forgiven. Do you see the message that people need to hear? Because there's so many that are saying, if I just try harder to be better, that I can save myself. How many people are lost, pulling themselves up, trying to get out of the muck, rather than reaching a hand to Jesus and letting him save them? We got a story to tell to the world of a God who is more gracious than to allow us to get what we deserve, but to give to us what Jesus deserves. And that leads to everlasting life with God all eternity. God loves you, and so do I. Amen.